What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
This week, the Trump administration announced it is cutting funds for permanent housing for the unhoused. Instead, the administration wants organizations to focus on temporary shelters and removing people from the streets quickly with requirements for addiction treatment and work, according to an NPR story. Quote, critics warned that the major overhaul could put 170,000 people at risk of losing their housing again. I'm going to ask my guest about this, but I bet that's a number count. And they say the timing is terrible. Normally, funding notices go out months earlier, but now programs around the country will have little time to start applying for new funding, and in many places it will leave a months-long gap after current funding runs out and before new money flows, end quote. Joining us to discuss is Jesse Rabinowitz, campaign and communications director at the National Homeless Law Center. He led the communications and power building work on the historic Johnson versus Grants Pass Supreme Court case. We talked about that at length on this show. Jesse directs the Housing Not Handcuffs campaign, a nationwide movement to protect the rights of people who live outside and secure housing for all. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
Good to have you here. Jesse, can you walk us through the weeds of this new mandate from the Trump administration? What does it say?
Sure. I mean, I want to put the recently announced funding changes in a bit of context. First, Donald Trump made no secret about his disdain for homeless people during his campaign. He speaks openly about a perverse desire to round homeless people up and force them into government-run detention camps. He evicted in the early parts of his administration about 200 homeless people from the Deschutes National Forest in Oregon. Several months ago, he issued an executive order that hints at his desire to gut funding for proven solutions like housing and support and to instead fund backwards and failed solutions like housing last and forced mass institutionalization. And the funding games that were released last week add fuel to the fire, and they enable the federal government to prioritize states that discriminate against trans people, discriminate against immigrants, and move backwards on homelessness for state funding and for federal funding to solve homelessness. So as you mentioned, up to 170,000 people, primarily people who are seniors, primarily people with disabilities, will be kicked out of their housing. Donald Trump is going to kick or elders and people with disability out of their homes and force them back on the street. And make no mistake, people are going to die because of this.
Jesse Rabinowitz, it's one of the things I've been talking about for a few months now. I'm an organizer, so I look ahead for strategy now, right? What are we trying to navigate around? And one of the things I've been saying for a hot minute, and we're starting to see it, is that, you know, people were reacting to the immediate headlines, right? That he was in office, that he was going to cut the Department of Education, right? I was like, oh, it's important, right, to be upset about the headlines, about what he's announcing is coming. What's more important is to think about the impact of the headlines in 3 months, in 6 months, in 2 years. Like, if we are looking forward at cuts to dollars for permanent housing, through your lens, your perch on this issue, 3 months, 6 months, 2 years, and feel free to combine that with no Medicaid, no food stamps. What kind of real disaster are we talking about here?
You're right to name that rents are higher, more people are struggling to pay rent, more people are struggling to pay groceries, more people are struggling to afford health insurance. And instead of using their power to help people, this administration, with the backing of Congress, is going to make more people homeless, more people poor, and more people sick. I think what's happening in Utah right now gives us a glimpse into the future if we don't join together and fight against this administration's attack on homeless people. Utah is moving quickly to build a massive 1,300-bed remote homeless detention camp in the middle of nowhere. This will have at least 800 forced treatment beds, forced psychiatric beds, forced medicated beds for homeless folks. People cannot leave. There is talk that there will be a work requirement that the people will have to perform free labor to earn the dignity of living inside. And that is going to be using funds, both state and federal funding, that should be going to solve homelessness through housing and support. And the bill in Utah and the movement in Utah is only possible because of the work of a billionaire-backed right-wing think tank with ties to the Trump administration called the Cicero Institute, who already passed a statewide camping ban in Utah, who are responsible for the increase in laws that make it a crime to be homeless across the country, and they're also responsible for Trump's anti-homeless executive order and this new funding game. So Utah provides us with a window into the future, but there's also still time to fight it and to demand that nobody in this country, for any reason, should be forced into a government-run detention camp.
You see my face, Jesse. Like, you just dropped for me a bomb. So I had no idea. I'm imagining that a lot of my listeners had no idea either. Do you mind spelling the Cicero Institute? Like, how you spell that?
Cicero. I'm happy to talk about it. It was founded by a
yes,
guy named Joe Lonsdale, who was the former executive at Palantir, so not someone who generally supports human rights or human needs. He founded a think tank in Texas that has been polluting the waters with this idea that homelessness is a choice and the solution to homelessness should be to punish people, to arrest people, to get people tickets. They were also all over the Supreme Court's decision in Grants Pass. They petitioned the court to rule in favor of criminalization. So they've influenced state laws, they've influenced city laws, and now they and their billionaire friends are influencing national policy on homelessness, and their fingerprints are all over this proposed Utah detention camp.
I don't know what to say, and I'm not often a person that is speechless. Thank you for that. That's the crystal ball, you know, that I was looking for. You touched on this already, right? So the couple of things, can you say more about because this mandate from the Trump administration has come down, two things, right? Well, I was going to ask you about the mandated addiction treatment, and what I was going to say is two things. A, it's erroneous that the primary reason for people being unhoused is addiction. It's just not true. But second, like, I live in the Bay Area, and across the bridge in San Francisco, right, they sort of fell before my city fell. My city's in the process of falling into the hands of the right wing. And there's this attack, right, on the unhoused, and this mandated treatment, right, for substance overutilization. Howsomever, ain't no beds. Right. So it was just sort of this revolving door of disaster. And so that's what I was thinking about the Trump mandate. You just said this is rolling out with a solution, which is detention camps. But is that the San Francisco paradigm? Is that true in cities around the country? Even if that was an OK solution, which we know it ain't, we can say that even if it was, ain't the beds, correct?
There's no beds. There's no beds. There's nowhere for people to go. There's also no housing. In D.C., where I am, and across the country, more and more people can't afford rent. That is the leading cause of homelessness. But sure, we need more treatment. We need more therapy. We need more mental health coverage. I'm a social worker. I think mental health care is incredibly important. But I used to do street outreach with folks living outside, and you cannot do effective social work, you cannot do effective drug treatment with people who are living in crisis, which is why we know getting folks into housing first and then providing them with the wraparound services that they want is the only way to solve homelessness. I had a lot of clients who were homeless during the backwards days of housing last. It just didn't work. Take the morals out of it, take the values out of it. It doesn't work. I want to solve homelessness. The Trump administration is more interested in bringing us backwards to a time where you can be thrown into jail or a camp for being poor, sick, or disabled.
Talk a little bit about that, Jesse, because I think that's important history, that we are returning back to a time when that was commonplace. People with disabilities and people that were unhoused were just institutionalized against their will and experienced great horrors inside of those walls, yeah?
I just read an incredible book called Madness that looks at a Jim Crow asylum outside Baltimore, Maryland, and it traces its history, and it is the same stuff we're talking about now. It's the same, quote, work therapy, where the first folks to live there were Black folks who were forced to live there, and they had to build the facilities. We saw people getting sent to these massive institutions for disrespecting a white woman or for stealing soda. That's what we're going back to. And make no mistake, laws that make it a crime to be poor, Black, disabled are as old as this country.
Yeah.
And we're seeing them approach with a new vigor by the Trump administration. So it's both that we are going backwards and we have not seen a concerted attack on homeless people like this in quite some time.
The administration statement also attacked organizations specifically serving people of color, disabled, queer, and trans folks. Those they've been on the chopping block. They've been inside of the target, those organizations. But talk about the intersectionality of those attacks with the crisis of our unhoused pandemic in this country. I don't know what else to call it.
Sure, homelessness is caused by racism. That full stop. Where I am in DC, 9 out of 10 people experiencing homelessness are black, compared to about 45% of the general population. But the administration is using homelessness as another political tool to implement their far-right agenda on cities and states that they disagree with. So this new funding scheme sets up the ability for the administration to deny funding to organizations that serve trans people, that served mixed status immigration families, that talk about DEI racial equity. We are never going to solve homelessness until we talk about and ultimately solve racism. So again, their goal is not to solve homelessness. Their goal is to force more people out of the streets so that they can round them at the into government-run detention camps. And earlier you talked about treatment. I also want to remind people that the Trump administration's budget gutted funding for healthcare. So they're saying they want treatment while gutting funding for treatment. They're saying they want to solve homelessness while gutting funding for housing. Their actions speak louder than their words.
Thank you for connecting those two issues. I really appreciate that. Jesse Rabinowitz, the tagline of this show is Expose, Agitate, and Build. I think we've done our exposing, we've done our agitating. I want to spend some time talking about building. What pushback is happening? What organizing is happening? How are folks that engage in the issue of supporting our unhoused, what are people thinking and what are folks doing?
It's a great question, and we're seeing some glimmers of hope. Last year, in state houses across the country, 54 bills were introduced to make it a crime to be homeless. Advocates across the country defeated 80% of those bills. So we are seeing advocates go toe-to-toe with these billionaires and these anti-homeless advocates, and we're winning more and more because we have things that billionaires and the right wing will never have. We have compassion, we have truth, we have people power. And we have the fact that most Americans are with us. Our polling shows time and time again that people support housing, not handcuffs. We have a bill that has been introduced into Congress called the Housing Not Handcuffs Act that prohibits the federal government from treating homelessness as a crime. That would have prevented the eviction I spoke about in the Deschutes National Forest. That would have also prohibited what I saw in D.C. when the federal government began targeting people experiencing homelessness. So we are urging everyone to log onto our website, housingnothandcuffs.org, and contact their lawmakers to tell them to pass the Housing Not Handcuffs Act. We are also hoping to introduce that into dozens of state houses and city legislative councils across the country this year. So we have template legislation on our website. We encourage folks to use it and to join our broader movement to focus on housing not handcuffs. Again, all of that can be done at housingnothandcuffs.org.
You be sure you keep us posted on how that moves, and you need a platform to talk about rallying the folks when it's time. Please be sure to hit us up.
We can absolutely do that. And I think most people, right, know that the rent's too high and know that our elected officials should be bringing the cost of rent down, bringing the cost of food down, bringing the cost of healthcare down. And more people realize that it's shameful that instead they're passing laws that make it a crime to be poor. I'm in DC. We are under federal occupation. Our taxpayers are spending $1 a day for the National Guard to pick up trash. For the cost of the National Guard deployment in DC, we could have solved homelessness. We know there's enough money. But instead, we have to build the power so that our elected officials use the money in this country to help people and not to fund military takeovers and increase policing of folks who have nowhere else to live.
Jesse Rabinowitz, say your website one more time, and then I gotta leave it there.
Housingnothandcuffs.org.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and thank you for your work.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.